Hello and welcome to ProYaki This Week. I'm Michael Westbay, your host, here on JapaneseBaseball.com. This is the week of September 22 through 28. The lead story this week is that the Seibu Lions, despite a recent slump, have secured the Pacific League pennant. Sure, it's been more a matter of when than if for quite a while, but the excitement generated by Oryx's recent surge combined with the Lions' slump have certainly made things a little more interesting for Seibu, and a lot more interesting for the second and third place spots in the Pacific League Climax Series competition. The Lions thought that they had the pennant clinched on Tuesday when they scored 5 in the bottom of the 8th inning against Dokten at Seibu Dome to take a 7-5 lead. However, Grauman was unable to stop the Eagles in the 9th, allowing 5 runs of their own, 3 of them earned, to lose 10-7. However, with Oryx losing about an hour earlier in the afternoon, the Lions' magic number had finally reached 1. Seibu then lost to Lotte 9-1 on Wednesday, while Oryx defeated SoftBank 4-1 to keep the flashing M at 1. There was some worry about Hosokawa getting injured when Benny threw him on the ground after 3 Marines were hit by pitches by 3 Lions pitchers, and Benny got a close one. But Hosokawa remained with the top team, appearing in pinch hitting roles, but not behind the plate. The extent of his injury is currently unknown outside of the Lions staff, but it is believed that he did hurt his shoulder. After having the day off on Thursday, the Lions were down 2-0 when word was put on the scoreboard at Sapporo Dome that Oryx lost 13-1 to Dokten. Unable to mount any kind of offense against the Fighters, Seibu lost the game 2-0, but became the 9th team in NPB history to win the pennant with a loss on the same day that they clinched. Perhaps of more concern, though, is that the loss to Nippon Ham was their 4th in a row, now extended to 6 in a row over this past weekend. For the month of September, the Saitama Seibu Lions are now 4-14. It seems that the Lions had made it this far and just ran out of gas. Will the bye in the first round of the playoffs be enough rest to have them recuperate? Or will they just be that much more rusty, as most pennant-winning teams have been since the inception of the playoff? I have my worries. And that leads us to Ken D's Hot and Not segment. A cold front has suddenly blown into Tokorozawa, where the hometown Saitama Seibu Lions have inexplicably lost 6 games in a row. While they did manage to secure their first Pacific League pennant in 4 years and provide manager Hisanobu Watanabe with a doage, they have been unable to put lesser teams away of late. First, there was the emotional roller coaster loss to Dokten on Tuesday, mentioned above, a game that the Lions trailed 3-2 after 7 innings. Neither Chikara Onodera nor Eiji Shotsu could hold down the Eagles in the 8th, the latter allowing a Fernando Seguinol home run to put the Lions down by 3. However, the plot took an unexpected turn when the Lions rallied for 5 in the bottom half of the frame, only to see that exact amount frittered away in the 9th by the usually dependent Alex Grauman. The 10-7 debacle posted what looked like a sure pennant celebration, and the Lions haven't won since. A 9-1 crushing took place the next day, including the much-talked-about incident between Benny and Toru Hosokawa. The loss tally has since run to its current 6, capping off with Sunday's 7-2 mauling at the hands of second-place Oryx. Heating up at the right time, though, are the Chibolote Marines. Bobby has gotten his squad moving together in the right direction at last, this week winning 4 of 5 and climbing into third place in the Pacific League standings, which would allow the Marines a playoff berth. The Marines' magic number is down to 3 over a very tenacious Fighters squad with whom they have one more game left to play this season. Just a half game separates the two teams in the standing, and the spot is up for grabs in the next few days. Both Naoyuki Shimizu and Yoshihisa Naruse delivered big starts this past weekend, the former outdueling Fukuoka's Tsuyoshi Wada on Saturday, and the latter coming up big against Shugo Fuji in a 4-1 Sunday win in Sapporo. Bobby will be ready to call for all hands on deck this week as his charges try to hold off Darvish and company and attempt to hold on to a date in the Climax Series. As an aside, it looks like Kobayashi isn't holding up this evening. Right now, live at Sapporo Dome, the Fighters have taken a 2-1 lead. On to other Pacific League action this week. Iwakuma wins his 20th. On Monday against the front-running and now 2008 champion Saitama Seibu Lions, Dakuten's Iwakuma Toshu marked his 20th win of the season. Iwakuma becomes the first 20-game winner since Daiei Saito and Hanshin Zigawa shared that honor 5 years ago in 2003. The pair also shared the Sawamuro Award, with 20 wins and 3 losses, a 1.84 ERA in 190 and 2/3 innings, and the defeat of Seibu Iwakuma's second 8-game winning streak. I think it's fair to say that Iwakuma is the top candidate for taking the Sawamuro Award away from last year's winner, Darvish of Nippon Ham. Here's how the two compare at the end of action on Monday. Iwakuma stands on top with a 1.84 ERA. He's thrown in 26 games, 5 of them complete games, 2 for shutouts, 3 of them no walk games, that leading the league. 20 wins, 3 losses for an 870 winning percentage, again the highest in the league. He's thrown 190 and 2/3 innings, allowed just 2 home runs, has struck out 147, and allowed only 33 bases on balls. Darvish is currently in second place in the pitching title race, with a 1.95 ERA. He's thrown in 23 games, 3 less than Iwakuma, but over that span he's thrown 9 complete games, 4 more than Iwakuma. Darvish has the same number of shutouts with 2. He's only thrown 1 complete game without allowing any walks. He has a 15-4 record, 789 ERA. He's thrown 189 and 2/3 innings, just 1 inning less than Iwakuma. but Darvish has given up 11 home runs to Iwakuma's 2, while striking out 193, a span of almost 50 more than Iwakuma. But he's also allowed 43, 10 more bases on balls than Iwakuma. I'd still say that Iwakuma is the favorite for winning the Sawamoto Award. And there is one other thing that I find interesting with regards to complete games, and that is complete game losses. Let's compare the two pitchers in this category. Iwakuma, on March 27th, threw a 2-0 shutout victory over Oryx. On April 10, he lost 1-0 in a complete game to Nippon Ham. Darvish got a complete game victory in the shutout. On June 7, Iwakuma defeated the Bay Stars 5-3. And June 15th, just 1 week later, Iwakuma defeated the Giants, shutting them out 3-0. And finally, on September 16th, just 2 weeks ago, Iwakuma won a 6-1 victory over Nippon Ham in a complete game. That's his 5 shutouts. Now let's take a look at Darvish's 9 shutouts this year. Or not shutouts, complete games rather. March 20, opening day, Darvish threw a 1-0 shutout over Lotte. On April 10, Darvish shut out Iwakuma and knocked in 1-0, as mentioned above. Both pitchers in that game going the distance. On April 18, Darvish defeated the Fukuoka SoftBank Hawks 3-1, and it was Sugiuchi for the Hawks throwing a complete game for the loss. On May 7, Darvish lost to Cebu 3-4. On June 4, he lost again, this time to Hiroshima 2-3. And Darvish and the Fighting Ham were shut out 1-0 to the Giants on June 11th. 1 month later, July 11th, Darvish turned things around and defeated SoftBank 3-2. That a complete game loss for Otonari on SoftBank. On July 17th, a 3-1 victory over Rakuten. And finally, on September 15, Darvish defeated Oryx 5-4, throwing the distance. And in that game, he actually gave up a 3-0 lead in the 9th winning, and Nippon Ham came back and won it in the bottom of the 9th. So that was two complete games for Darvish, where he actually went against another pitcher who also went the distance. In both instances, Darvish came out on top. So, in complete games, Iwakuma is 4-1 compared to Darvish's 6-3. Also, while researching this, I found that SoftBank's Otonari was 4-2 in complete games before he disappeared completely at the end of August. That might be something Nelson-san might want to look into for a future SoftBank Source article. And it's time to move on to the Pacific League races. Now, I haven't been too satisfied with the way I was presenting the weekly results the past few broadcasts, so I'm going to try something a little bit new this week. I sincerely look forward to your feedback on this, positive or negative, to make this segment a little bit better in the future. First off, the Pacific League. The Saitama Seibu Lions started off the week in first place with a magic number of 2, and after no wins and 6 losses, they have managed to secure first place. 75 wins, 62 losses, 4 ties for a .547 winning percentage. The Lions have 3 games remaining on the season. Oryx started the week in second place, 7 games behind Seibu. They won 2 and lost 3. They come out still in second place, 73-68 with 1 tie, a .518 winning percentage. And they have actually decreased their separation from first place Seibu to just 4 games, of which they can't get much higher. Oryx has 2 games remaining on the season. Lotte started off the week in third place, 9.5 games back. With 4 wins and 1 loss, they remain in third place, 71-68 with 1 tie, but gain 4.5 on Seibu and are now just 5 games back, 1 game behind Oryx. Lotte has 4 games remaining on the season. Nippon Ham started off the week in 4th place. They also went 4 wins and 1 loss and came out still in 4th place. Just 1.5 game behind Lotte, 71-69-2. Nippon Ham only has 1 game remaining on the season, and Darvish, as I'm reporting this, has just won it. The Hokkaido Nippon Ham Fighters defeat the Chiba Lotte Marines this evening, Monday night, 2-1. So this is the last game of the regular season for the Fighters, and they go to 72-61. Still, the Chiba Lotte Marines, with 3 more games remaining, only need to win 2 of them, I think, to stay ahead of the Fighters, or to get ahead of the Fighters. So, back to the results of the week. Rakuten started off the week in 6th place, 16 games out. They won 4, lost 1, and emerge in 5th place, 61-71 and 3 ties, a .462 winning percentage, 11.5 games out with 9 games remaining. Rakuten has the most games remaining of all the Pacific League teams, so they're not exactly completely out of it. Well, yeah, they are. Cancel that. They are. And SoftBank started off the week in 5th place, 13.5 games back, and with 1 win and 4 losses, they drop to 6th place, 62-73-3, a .459 winning percentage, 12 games back, just half a game behind Rakuten, but with 6 games remaining. SoftBank actually gained a game and a half in the standings, but dropped from 5th to 6th place as their 7-game losing streak came to a merciful end on Sunday. The three teams in the middle, all vying for 2 playoff spots, are now just within 1.5 games of each other. Second and third are still anyone's spot in the Pacific League. And while the battle is now on for second and third, while the battle is now for second and third between three teams in the Pacific League, there are actually 2 races going on in the Central League. The Giants and Tigers are going neck and neck for the pennant, and Chunichi Hiroshima, and to a lesser extent Yakult, are going for the third playoff spot in the Central League. Over the past week, this is how things have gone in the Central League. Hanshin started off the week tied in first with the Giants. Both teams, 76 and 53. And over the past week, Hanshin has gone with 3 wins, 1 loss, and 1 tie, while the Giants have gone 3 wins and 2 losses with 1 tie. So Hanshin emerges in first place and the Giants in second by half a game. Hanshin going into play today, 79-54-2, a 595 winning percentage. The Giants 79-55-3, a 590 winning percentage. The Tigers have 9 games remaining, and the Giants 7. Chunichi started off the week in 4th place, 12 games behind the Tigers. Chunichi had 4 wins and a loss to come up to a tie with Hiroshima in 3rd place. Both teams 67-65-5, a 508 winning percentage, and both teams 11.5 out with 7 games remaining. Hiroshima, of course, started off the week in third by themselves, and now, as I stated, tied with Chunichi in third. Yakult started off the week in fifth place, 15.5 games out, but this past week they had 1 win and 3 losses. Remain in 5th place at 59-70 with 3 ties, a 457 winning percentage, and now 18 games out of first with 12 games remaining. They still have a fraction of a chance, but highly unlikely at this point. Finally, Yokohama started off the week locked in 6th place, 31.5 games out. They had 0 wins, 4 losses, and 1 tie to drop to 43-87-2 on the year, a 331 winning percentage, 34.5 games out of 1st place, with 12 games remaining. Until the Giants lost 1-0 to Chunichi last night, the only run allowed by Uehara, who threw a complete game loss, was a solo home run to left by Araki in the top of the 8th. The Giants and Tigers matched each other day-to-day in the results. Since Hanshin had the day off, they take a half-game lead in the standings. I'd like to remind you that if you can chime in live I'm willing to take calls via Skype. You can call in to ProYaku Live, ProYakuLive, all one word. You can also write to me at westbaystars@markjapanesebaseball.com with questions and comments about the broadcasts. I'd be happy to answer any questions that I can on next week's show. I look forward to hearing from you. Last week, I talked a little about the status of Yokohama's machine gun offense in July of that championship year of 1998. This week, having gone through some old newspapers, I'd like to share a feat that the Bay Stars managed to accomplish in August of 1999. And that is a team batting average of 300. Here's a short excerpt from the August 9, 1999 issue of Nikon Sports. First time in history in second half, the headline read. Yokohama entered the 300s in batting, writing the third time this season that they've hit 20 hits or more. On May 11, they reached the 291 mark, within 1/100th reaching 300 after 62 games into the season. After entering the second half of the season, though, there isn't a single previous instance of a team hitting 300. The record for highest team batting average for a season was set in 1952 by the Giants at 292. Can the Bay Stars overturn this 47-year-old record? The answer that to that question turned out to be yes. Yokohama went on to hit 294 for the 1999 season. Despite all the hits, though, they finished in third place, 10 games behind the Chunichi Dragons and 4 games under the Yomiuri Giants. Please keep in mind, though, that the Bay Stars did this in the Central League, where pitchers hit for themselves. Nonetheless, the Bay Stars offensively led the Central League not only in batting average, but also in plate appearances, at-bats, hits, doubles, total bases, runs scored, runs batted in, sacrifice flies, runners left on, slugging percentage, and on-base percentage. Unfortunately, that was the year that Yokohama's pitchers contracted ippatsubyo, an illness whereby pitchers vomit up profuse numbers of home runs. Something that has been making its rounds on our pitching staff ever since. Also, it's been pitching that's winning pennants pretty much every year since then as well. Ah, but that offense, that was really something exciting to behold. No game was over until the final rally was done. Sayonara Hiroshima Shimin Kyujo again. I know I talked about all the commentators on TV saying sayonara to Hiroshima Municipal Stadium last week, but for 2 hours and 46 minutes on Sunday, September 28, 2008, the final game of the season was played at Hiroshima Shimin Kyujo, and a big closing ceremony And there was a big closing ceremony after the game. That was really interesting. They had people born in the year that the Carp won the pennant come out on the field carrying the pennant for that year. You could see a wide range of people from 17 to a bit older. There are a number of tributes out there in English, like this week's Baseball Bulletin in the Japan Times, which talks about many of the players who played there, and also the Tsubamegun tribute to Hiroshima Municipal Stadium on the Tokyo Yakult Swallows WordPress site. After Yakult lost that final game at Shimin Kyujo, the Tsubamegun put up a YouTube video in tribute of Hiroshima's Oendan. You can find those in the links in Pro Yaku News if you're curious to find out more. But according to Japanese Wikipedia, they broke ground on Hiroshima Shimin Kyujo in February of 1957 to build a new ballpark rather than install lights at the Carp's current stadium at the time, Hiroshima Sogo Kyujo. Just 5 months later, they opened officially on July 20th, 1957, with the first game held on July 24th, Hiroshima taking a 1-15 whipping at the hand of the Hanshin Tigers. The second game of the 1958 All-Star Series was held at Hiroshima Shimin Kyujo the following year on July 29. For 51 years, the stadium saw a number of superstars play for the Carp at Hiroshima Shimin Kyujo. Perhaps two of the biggest were Mr. Akaheru Yamamoto Koji and Iron Man Kinugasa Sachio. But in its final regular season game yesterday, there was some fresh history being made. Rookie pitcher Maeda Kenta hit his first professional home run, a solo shot to put the Carp up 3-0 in the fourth inning of his eighth win of the season. I've mentioned Mayakin before that he has my vote for Rookie of the Year. While Hiroshima has finished their home schedule, the season isn't over yet, and Brown Kantoku has vowed to return to Hiroshima Shimin Kyujo for the Nippon Series in October. And that's a wrap with Sayonara to Hiroshima Shimin Kyujo. I'd like to say so long, and thank you all for joining me this evening, live and via podcast. Pro Yaku This Week is a production of JapaneseBaseball.com and is distributed under the Creative Commons license. You may copy, redistribute, and/or rebroadcast in whole or in part in any way you wish, provided that you give credit to JapaneseBaseball.com. Thank you much for joining me. Take care.